Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Man, another accident here. 41 seconds ago. Man, Trisha Pittman puts up on Route 28 inbound. This one near Harmer and 910, which is right on the 28 there in the PA Turnpike. It must be icy on 28. Just slow down. It was the roads were. I'll tell you what, the roads this morning were terrible. It was on Route 8 was like yesterday at 2 p.m. It was totally untouched.
Man,
I couldn't believe it. It stunned me.
Totally good once I got out of my neighborhood. So
I thought I would be, and it was awful. It was unexpected too. And by the way, we're the Fan Morning Show presented by Matt Mertz Plumbing, now part of the Armstrong Comfort Solutions family. We'll talk real quick, in just a couple minutes, actually, about the Steelers defensive coordinator situation and an absolute bomb thrown by Keith Butler. Do you know Pony's wife made meatloaf?
Yes,
yesterday?
I saw that. You're comparing apples and meatloaf, and then
Do you think it was an ode to meatloaf?
What was?
R.I.P. Meatloaf.
Oh!
I was wondering that when she made it, and that needs to be asked of Pony.
That sounds like something the young ponies would do.
I agree with you, and I wonder if it was. And so I sent Pony, and, you know, he was puzzled by this. So she put, like, the tomato paste ketchup sort of contraption on the top. Mm-hmm. I like mine with a little singe on both the edges and the top. Mm-hmm. Give me a little black, a little burn on there.
Okay.
But I guess some people have never heard of, like, in that deal that you put, like, the tomato paste and the ketchup, whatever, just a little bit of Coca-Cola. Little bit of Coca-Cola.
We don't do it with, like, the tomato-y ketchup glaze on top.
Yeah.
I'll just squirt ketchup on top of it after I cut the slice of meatloaf that I want. But can I tell you my secret? Actually,
sure.
It's my wife's secret. It's not my secret. I don't cook a damn thing in my house. I don't know why I'm talking like that. Use for the binding agent for the meat.
Okay.
Instead of breadcrumbs. Use stovetop stuffing.
Oh, see, yeah.
Oh, my God. It's incredible.
I like meatloaf sandwiches the next day.
Oh, yeah.
With ketchup and a real little daub. I mean, maybe the size of a dime of mayonnaise.
Okay.
Both of those things. And a slice of tomato. I'll take a slice of tomato on it. Oh, goodness. But, yeah, you got to have a little bit of either Pepsi or Coke. Either,
okay.
Just right in that whole situation.
Mixture there.
And
yeah.
it is something else. Anyway, so there's that. Good morning to you. All right. So there was just a total flame on the way out the door that I don't think is getting played up big enough. Ed sort of poo-pooed it. Was like, yeah, everybody knew this. It's one thing for everybody to know this. It's another thing for the guy in the middle of it, Ed Bouchette, I should say, to verbalize it. And Keith Butler did. So Keith Butler was talked to by Jerry Dulac, talked to Keith Butler. Mm-hmm. And Keith Butler said, I would have liked to do that myself, meaning call the plays here in Pittsburgh. And Keith Butler's retired. Sure, I would. I think everybody would. But Mike's the head coach. He can do what he wants to do. This is damning. I mean, this is totally damning. Then what did the defensive coordinator do, who's apparently a longtime friend of Mike Tomlin, a guy that was trusted, a guy that's supposed to be here and knows a lot about, a guy that played in the NFL and was a pretty good football player. What was his job here?
Was he just basically a glorified linebacker's coach?
And more to the point, too, there's the next step for me. You know, people have already linked Terrell Austin. He's going to be the defensive coordinator. Okay. Who in their right mind wants to be the defensive coordinator and say, hey, you're the defensive coordinator. Oh, awesome. What are my duties? Well, you don't get to call plays. Unless that's changing, why would anybody that truly wants to, and I don't know if Terrell Austin wants to climb the coaching ladder beyond a defensive coordinator. I don't know if he's going to get an opportunity, but who would even want to do that? Hey, you're the defensive coordinator. What do I do? Well, you don't call plays.
You just sit on the headset and listen.
Does the conversation even advance from there?
No, I don't think it does. I mean, I don't know who would want to work in that situation. I don't. I'd also like to give credit where it's due. When Aditi mentioned this a month and a half ago and people came after her for it, she stood by her guns and said, no, that's exactly what I heard and exactly what's going on. And here we are, now coming straight from the horse's mouth, the horse in this case, Keith Butler, telling another reporter, yeah, it would have been nice to call the plays, but Coach T likes to do that. Somebody's got to put a foot down, and it's probably got to be somebody named Rooney in order to have the impact that's necessary. Somebody's got to put a foot down and say, Mike, listen, if you're going to I don't care if you promote Terrell Austin, the defensive coordinator. I don't care if you hire externally. I don't care who you put in that role, but they better be your defensive coordinator. They better be on the headset making the calls on Sundays, and you need to take half a step back. We get it. You're a defensive-minded guy. That's how you came up. Take half a step back, disengage, and let your defensive coordinator actually be your defensive coordinator.
Defensive coordinate, oddly enough. Yeah, I don't know. But at this point in his – okay, here's where the butting of the heads is. At this point in his career, and albeit he's coming off and not having a lot of success, but other than that, what is the impetus for Mike Tomlin to say, oh, okay, you're right. You're right. You know what? I'm going to do it your way now.
His last three playoff games?
Again, what is the impetus? Because what hot seat is he on? It seems like somebody's always the fall guy. It's not him.
Right.
What? When does somebody walk in that room and go, you know what, Mike? We let you hire your guy, but he's going to be the guy. Like, there's no impetus for Mike Tomlin to do anything different than the way that he's been doing it.
Well, and again,
there is none.
There needs to be. When I say putting a foot down and telling Mike Tomlin he has to do this, it has to come with a pretty hard ultimatum of, listen, you need to do this, or else. We're not threatening your job yet, but you need to do this. You need to take that step back and become the CEO and understand that your coordinators need to be in charge on game day. Look, we get it. You're the head coach. You're going to be involved in game planning, obviously. We're not telling you to just be a figurehead. We're telling you to let your coordinators coordinate, as you put it. And that's what the job is going to be for you from now on, Mike. You need to be on board with that. We can't accept. Look, we love the fact that you provide sort of a face to this franchise now, especially with the franchise quarterback retiring. We love the leadership you provide these guys. We love the fact, look, we know people make fun of it, but we love the fact that you've never had a losing season and we're always in the conversation, Mike. We appreciate all that. We really do. But here's the catch. You haven't done anything with any of it in the last decade.
Like, Terrell Austin's 56 years old.
Mm-hmm. He's not a young man anymore.
He's not young. He's not super old. He's kind of right in that middle ground. I would love to know, if he does take this job, what the arrangement is. Because Terrell Austin has been a pretty accomplished guy in football, right? Mm-hmm. He's bounced around. He's been a defensive coordinator at Florida. He was a defensive coordinator for 3 years with the Detroit Lions, with the Bengals for a year. He's been in that role. Keith Butler was never going to go anywhere but the Pittsburgh Steelers.
No desire to.
Correct.
Yeah.
I just wonder if Terrell Austin would ever in a gazillion years work under those same confines. I find it impossible to believe.
I think he's probably already had to come to peace with that idea when he came here, knowing full well that he would be first in line to have a crack at the job when Butler hung him up. And that would be somewhat imminent. Like, you know what I mean?
What is that job? I guess that's my whole point.
Well, no, and I agree with you. But I think, you know, we're asking the question, who wants to be that guy that gets micromanaged by their boss, right? I think Terrell Austin, when he came here to essentially become the defensive coordinator in waiting, was essentially signing off on being micromanaged by Mike Tomlin. And that's the only way you come into this situation is... Yeah, no, I get it, Mike. You run the defense, I'd love to be here, and I'd love to, when Keith decides to move on, I'd love to be the next guy to sit there and be told what to do.
Well, let's run it back a little bit, okay? Then everybody in Western Pennsylvania, everybody in Steeler Nation, you need to have a long, hard look in the mirror. For the past 5 years, okay, The times that you have yelled and screamed mm-hmm. and been mad at Keith Butler, you need to retroactively go back and replace Mike Tomlin with that. You're mad at Mike Tomlin for clock management. You're mad at Mike Tomlin for this. You're mad at Mike Tomlin for what quarterback is going to play. You're mad at Mike Tomlin for being a player's coach too much, being too buddy-buddy. You were. We fielded the calls. We saw the texts. We heard the conversations. You yelled and screamed in this town about Keith Butler and his scheme.
Mm-hmm.
And about Keith Butler and you had all the time a number 90-something with the Pittsburgh Steelers running with a number 80-something right. from the other team. And it doesn't make any damn sense.
When Robert Spillane was getting torched by Jarvis Landry, we were yelling at Keith Butler. Yeah.
Retroactively go back and insert Mike Tomlin.
Right.
If what Dulac was told is absolutely true, and why would we ever challenge that? I find it to be...
We've got it from two highly reputable reporters in town now that Keith Butler never called plays.
So is Mike Tomlin really doing a good enough job?
No.
Is Mike Tomlin truly doing a good enough job?
Mike Tomlin, the head coach, somehow led this team. And I'll give him... Look, I think this... We talk all the time. It doesn't have to be black and white. There can be some meeting in the middle. And here's where I'll meet in the middle. Mike Tomlin, the head coach, is the guy that somehow got Mason Rudolph and Duck Hodges, that team, within a win of a wild card appearance. Mike Tomlin is the guy who somehow got this team with a shell of Ben Roethlisberger and the 32nd ranked run defense in the league into the playoffs. However, that's Mike Tomlin, the head coach. Mike Tomlin, the defensive coordinator, is part of the reason they had the 32nd ranked run defense in the league. Is part of the reason Mike Tomlin, the defensive coordinator, they've been blown out or had 40 plus points scored on them in each of their last three playoff games. It's why you need to, when you hire your next defensive coordinator, essentially tell your current defensive coordinator, Mike Tomlin, you're no longer defensive coordinator, Mike. You're simply head coach now.
Right. And people say, well, how come, you know what? You have, and we're getting texts, Andy Reid calls the offensive plays. Andy Reid's winning a lot of freaking football games.
Andy Reid's hosted four consecutive AFC championship games now.
It's okay when it's working. You know when it's not okay? When it's
not
working.
Yes.
And it's not working. So there it is. 412-928-9370. We take your calls on this. And also coming up at 8:30, people complain. You complain. Everybody's overtime system. All right, then fix it for us. You tell me what the best way is. Coming up at 8:33, we'll take your calls on that. What is the best way then to decide overtime? All right, so it is 8:27. Normally, this is the time I'd say, "Hey, Jim. So, what's going on?" He would have been here like 20. Do we miss Jim? Or
I do.
Do you think? I kind of do. I guess.
I mean, nothing against you guys. I don't want to make it like that. But like, I kind of miss Jimbo.
So, what's going on Friday, Matt? Why don't you explain? Do you know anything about what's going on Friday?
It's just going to be a Jimbo fest, I think.
I think that's a good, solid plan.
What's the best way to play this? I think that we just move away and just let Jim tell stories.
Yeah. Jim tells stories. You might have people that call in, maybe, or you might have some recorded things that say, "Hey, happy retirement, Jim. We'll celebrate him a little bit."
I think that's the way
we'll
to
just
go.
Just let Jim take over for a day.
Celebrate Jim for 4 hours.
Yeah.
Wow.
4 hours.
He's going to get up
minutes early?
Well, I don't know. I don't know if he's going to commit to 4 hours.
Yeah, that's a thing. That might be too
much. Well, we should probably know that before.
We won't. We won't know until Thursday, I'm
before
sure.
we start planning things.
Because he made a comment on Friday that was, whenever we said that we were going to do this, he's like, "Yeah, I'm not coming in for 4 hours."
Oh, he said that?
Yeah.
Because
I think the bosses were
under the impression that he was.
Yeah,
he said
it
jokingly, so I think we can, there's some wiggle room there.
Not if it snows. If it snows, I'll tell you what.
Is it snow Friday morning?
I don't know. It snows every morning now.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, I don't think he's going to get up and do that.
I think he will. Ooh. I think he's got much more of an appetite for this sort of fate, this sort of celebration than he lets on.
And when he was coming in starting at 8 o'clock, he was still up every morning at five.
I guarantee he was up at 5-ish today.
Right.
I mean I would hope he slept in, but
I don't know.
Unless
I bet
he's settling into a different groove now.
He might be. I think he might be. Which is going to make the times that he fills in for us all that more entertaining.
Yes.
Because he is going to be even
just
more curmudgeonly and just nasty
exhausted.
His brain won't be working.
Right, you'll get freeform Jim, which would be really good, which I understand. I still didn't go back, and I should have listened to that full show he did when he sat in for Zeiss.
Yeah.
I heard he was just so off the rails, jumping from, like, he actually verbalized how your brain thinks thinking, mm-hmm. like jumping from one topic to another.
In that way, it was no very flow. Similar to an actual Zeiss show.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
I mean, you got to stay true to the product, I guess.
When you're doing that time slot, that's
on
what you
brand,
do.
Yes.
Yes. Jim's, you know, so how about Ben retires, Jim retires, Keith Butler retires.
Who's next? Yeah. Or does it only come in threes?
People texting. Jim's retirement has taken up more airtime than any sports figure. Rightly so.
Yeah.
Rightly so. Yeah.
Just as important.
He's been here longer.
Ben has not officially announced his retirement, though,
no.
yet.
And was Ben here for – was Ben on the job here in Pittsburgh for 30-plus years?
No. What if Ben calls Jim and announces the retirement on Friday?
On Friday.
That is where – or what the – here's Jim's luck because this is what Jim does. Ben sends out a press release on Friday at like 8:55 a.m. and just ruins Jim's moment. Just ruins his moment. That – I'm not saying I'm rooting for that to happen. But
there's part of all of us that's kind of rooting for that.
Maybe like 9 o'clock, so just like the last hour.
That Jim's moment is just blown up by Ben.
I want Jim to have his full 4 hours or as many hours as he wants. Who knows?
I'd like to see him squirm a little bit, which would be okay if there was Ben. Then he went into reporter mode again, and trying to, you know, make calls and do everything. Or they sent him, they're like, Jim, considering you're here already, why don't you just run down to the south side and cover
you just
this?
Jump on a Zoom real quick with the pens?
Yeah. Oh, you'd be so mad. All right, your call's next. We've talked about what people think is a problem with this overtime system. So no more problem talk. Fix it for us. 412-928-9370. What is the best way then to go about NFL overtime? We take your calls next. Fan Morning Show.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm not reading your texts on the air about would the Steelers have been able to throw 40 sideways passes to get in position for a game-tying field goal in 13 seconds. I'm not reading those on the air. Just not going to make it on the air. 412-928-9370. You know, realistic, not inventive or ingenious or whatever, realistic thoughts and fixes for all these people that have, they have a big problem with overtime and how overtime is figured out in the NFL and people want it to be fixed. Because I feel like I can't believe this is dominating the talk, but it is on the national shows, on social media, on different places. Like,
right.
For my talk, it's like, all right, they didn't change the rules between regulation and overtime. They didn't hurry up, and we knew all this going in. Were this many people this upset with the rule going in?
No, they're just upset because they didn't get to see Josh Allen handle the football one more time.
Is that what it is?
Yeah. No, and it's kind of ridiculous. We all knew what overtime was going into the game, so I'm not sure why we're so mad this morning. You know what part of it is the social media construct of having to find something to complain about all the time, too.
I think there is that. I think there is some of that. I think there are some people who, honestly, though, didn't like it going in, but then they see it on a big stage. Anthony and Shakura. Anthony, good morning to you. How you doing?
Good morning, fellas. I'm doing good. Look, when it comes to the whole overtime thing, The only thing I was ever mad about is that they changed the original way. You go down the ball, you go down, kick the field goal. Oh, the other team has a chance to score. No. Overtime is over. The score changed. Defense had their job. They didn't do it. Game's over. Tough break. People would complain about, oh, Josh Allen didn't get the play yesterday. Oh, because, you know, they scored and that was over. It was overtime. That's it. Well, that's the way of the game. That's just how it's played.
Thank you for the call. I think, though, the people who are complaining now would complain even more in the old rules if it was just you kick a field goal and it's over.
Well, yeah, remember how often we had games and in the playoffs
right.
on one possession, field goal, boom, done. I don't have a problem ensuring each team a possession. What I do have a problem with is that there will still be people who complain after that, right? Like, again, play it out under those rules last night. Mahomes to Kelce, touchdown, boom, okay. Chiefs kick an extra point, Bills get the ball and come back down the field, they score, touchdown, boom, extra point. We're tied again, and the ball's going back to Kansas City, and all they're going to do is drive 45 yards and kick a field goal anyway. So I don't know, even saying each team gets one possession, is that going to entirely satisfy some people? I don't think so.
I wish I had a solution. I don't.
There are some people, and I've seen a lot of texts this morning and tweets, well, just play the 15-minute quarter, and whatever it is after the 15 minutes, it's done.
Okay, did you do that in the regular season, though? Because
no,
I don't like changing things in the postseason that's not in the regular season.
Regular season, I would not. Regular season, I would – I'd be more inclined to go back to the old rules in the regular season,
I'd be okay with just tying.
Or that. I mean, or just say, hey, listen, it's sudden death. Whoever scores first, you don't get to touch the ball necessarily. In the playoffs, fine. We'll play a full 15-minute quarter and call it a day.
Dennis, Aliquippa. Dennis, good morning.
Yeah, you just took it away from me. I was going to say the same thing about the putting 15 minutes on the clock and just play out another quarter. And
then what if it's tied after that? What if it's still tied?
I don't know.
There you go.
I know safety reasons. You don't want to keep playing more than you have to, but.
Yeah, but, you know, we widely consider one of the best games of all time, and I'm not old enough to remember it, that Chargers-Dolphins game in the divisional round in, what, 81? And that was ridiculously long, right? Played almost two full
Kellen
overtimes,
Winslow is getting carried off with a towel around his neck.
That's widely regarded as one of the best games of all time. When we talk about NHL overtime, and the NHL is almost
people
as physical as the NFL.
And, right.
We celebrate three and four overtime games. We champion
that
them.
That was before our athletes were so finely tuned, though. I mean, honestly,
you get a triple overtime game in the Stanley Cup playoffs this spring, people are still going to be like, oh my God, did you stay up and watch that game? Oh, it was fantastic. It was great. They just kept going. So why do we necessarily have to be out against the idea of a full 15-minute quarter, and then after that, it's just sudden death?
Keep it going. Play all night. I'll tell you why, though. If that game would have been first, it would have bled into the window.
Sure.
And that's what the NFL wants it done. They want it in their canister. They want to serve it to you. And then the assembly line, here comes the next canister. You get this one. That's the danger of it. If that would have been the early game and it goes four overtimes, nobody flips over to the other game. They don't want that. They've constructed their playoffs to be, you eat this, okay. Then you're finished with that. Here's your next course.
Well, in that case,
you get this.
In that case, what you need to do, if the only change you're going to make to overtime is to ensure that each team gets the ball once, let's do this. Take away extra points. You got to go for two.
Oh, I don't disagree with that at
you
all.
You do that, now you're...
I like that.
You do that, I think you've got an opportunity to not just ensure each team gets a quote-unquote fair chance, even though Buffalo's fair chance was blown by not playing defense, but you also add the effect of, well, it's going to be a lot harder to construct a tie in overtime.
Lots of calls on the line. Let's stay right here and come back. Stay on the line if you're there. 412-928-9370. Lots of people have ideas because apparently it needs to be fixed. So you tell us how you fix it. 412-928-9370. Oh, man. You know, I mean this. And we'll take your calls. We got a lot of calls on the line. Thank you. Were people, and this is not overshadowing this weekend. At all. It's just something that people want to talk about. But were people this mad at the overtime rule when Tebow beat the Steelers? I don't think they were.
No, that was the first NFL playoff overtime game to be decided that way, where the touchdown automatically won it.
They were mad at Ike Taylor, and they were mad at Dick LePoe for having 32 people in the box.
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, right?
And for letting Demaryius Thomas run away from them. Yeah.
R.I.P. No. Pour some out. But no, I mean, this is
it's the rule. It's the rule.
No, you know what it is? They just saw, and I guess I could be guilty of this a little bit. We just were on the heels, and not on the heels of it, in the middle of an unbelievable quarterback duel, and we just wanted to see more greatness from the quarterback.
We just didn't
position.
Want it to end, right?
Correct.
They could have played until midnight, and we all would have sat there on the edge of our couches, glued to the screen. I'm with you. But guess what? At a certain point, you got to stop somebody, or else you're probably going to lose. And in the last 6 minutes and 15 seconds, I get it. Neither team seemed very interested in stopping the other side, but Kansas City happened to win.
Tom and Moon. Let's talk to Tom and Moon. Is Tom there? Let's go to him. Oh, Justin in the car. Let's talk to Justin.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Not much.
What's up?
So I have a possible solution, and then I have a question afterwards if I have time.
Okay.
So my solution would be pretty simple. I mean, do a coin toss like you have now, and then the way it works is one team gets a possession, they put up points, and the next team gets the ball regardless of what happens, and they have to either match or exceed what happens with the previous possession. If they exceed it, they win. If they tie, the next score wins. That's how I would go about it.
Yeah, I mean, that's essentially the each team gets to touch the ball once plan we've talked about a lot this morning, Justin, and I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
Right. Now here's my thing, too. I might have this wrong, but I was under the impression that the reason why the current overtime rules got changed was because there were so many complaints about both teams not being able to touch the ball. Mm-hmm. Now, here's my thing about that.
Mm-hmm.
In this situation, why is there an in-between? It's like both teams can touch the ball if, you know, this happens. There's like that caveat. Why can't
Field
it
goal's
be,
not good enough, but a touchdown is, right?
Yeah.
Both teams touch if it's just a field goal.
And I do remember when the rule was implemented, and thanks for the call, Justin. Mm-hmm. It's a good point. I do remember when the rule was implemented, that being a part of the conversation. Like, why don't both teams get the ball? Why don't we just go to that point? And I still think that's ultimately the solution. Just ensure that each team gets the ball if you're really that out against NFL overtime.
But, this is crazy.
I mean,
to me.
We're also talking about a team that had 13 seconds left. My God.
13.
And you let them go 44 yards in 10 of those seconds.
You know what I tweeted yesterday during the game, though? It was there was like 3 minutes left. And I did it, and it does. I don't want it to gloss over the weekend. I did tweet, and I think this is accurate. This is the best game since earlier today, which was the best game since yesterday.
which is true.
Which
was the best game since
the
earlier
game
yesterday.
Yeah, yeah. It was, if you ever had doubts at how strong of a product the National Football League is, that was it. And I'll honestly get back to why you can't elongate overtime plays into that tweet a little bit. The marketing people will never allow playoff games to bleed too deep into the next playoff game. They just won't. And a lot of the things that people come up with, play it all the way out, play sudden death. But they can't have a football game go 6 hours.
But we weren't even going like 6 hours yesterday. We were this close to Rams and Bucks bleeding into kickoff of Chiefs-Bills.
Right.
If that game goes to overtime, if you don't get that ridiculous Cooper Kupp play and Matt Stafford running down the field with both arms trying to get everybody to line up for the spike, that goes to overtime and it bleeds into kickoff of Chiefs-Bills. Because I was sitting there thinking to myself, I want to see the end of this game, but I know my kid wants to see the start of the Chiefs game. I'm going to have to go rip a second TV out of the office or something and set up both. But we were that close to that happening, and it wasn't, you know, all it would have been was going into overtime, not necessarily some elongated overtime.
Oh, and one observation from the weekend. Can we stop with it? And it's very few people that are vocal, though. Wow, every time that Josh Allen, and man, is Josh Allen something. Gosh, is he something. But every time he does something, wow, that's Ben Jr. That's a young Ben. I have watched, and I'll say this, since my formative years, I guess, or whatever, since I've been able to understand it, I've watched every Steeler snap that there has been. And you're the same way. And, mm-hmm. and that's not exaggeration.
No.
Every Steeler snap in a game, I have watched.
Yes.
The Steelers never called designed runs, which ended up pretty much being single-wing football for Ben Roethlisberger.
No.
You can stop with the comparisons with they were both very escapable in the pocket, and mm-hmm. they could alleviate a rush and avoid a rush or whatever. What Josh Allen's doing right now is incredible. Like, it was 3rd and 10. They knew they were going to go for it on 4th down. They just ran a designed quarterback run,
yeah.
and he got 6, and then it became 4th and 4. And it was just a single wing run.
He's their best running option.
Yes.
And it's not
Ben
like,
never did that, though, is my point. And he runs downhill and he punishes people.
Yes.
Which is wild to me.
He put a D-back on the ground last night and they had to come out and check on the guy. I mean, that's... You're right. Ben never did that. There are a lot of ways you can compare the two to each other. The way that Allen has those designed runs and, like you said, puts his shoulder down, all that kind of stuff. Dives for a pylon. Ben never did that.
Yeah, it is. It's something to watch these guys. And that's what we get into next. The quarterback crop in the AFC. It's both incredibly entertaining to watch.
And incredibly intimidating.
Scary. Scary if you're a Steelers fan, that's for sure.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.